Well, as the debate over press freedom continues to swirl in this country, lawyers in London for Julian Assange have described the media raids here in Australia last week as, quote, a dark legal experiment on the freedom of the press. Peter Van Onselen is Network 10's political editor and a columnist with The Australian. Hello, Peter.
Good morning.
So press freedom still very much an issue here politically. The clamour for action is unrelenting now. Labor's pitched in. Christina Keneally, their Home Affairs shadow, wants a joint parliamentary committee to take a fresh look at the national security laws to see how they impinge on journalists. The PM, though, Peter, wants everyone to calm down, quote, and keep things in perspective. Do you think the government is open to a review? What are we going to get?
Well, I hope that they're open to a review, and I'm just glad that there's political pressure that's built around this whole sphere, if you like, of people's right to privacy and also journalistic protections, and even hopefully the adjunct flow on to the protection of whistleblowers as well. It's a debate that we haven't had nearly enough of, not just for the last few years, but really for decades now. There's been that slow creep and infringement in this area. Is the government open to it? Well, I think they might be dragged kicking and screaming to be open to it. And the other thing that we shouldn't forget is Scott Morrison has a lot of authority as a result of a remarkable election win, but he still only has 77 seats in the lower house. He doesn't control the upper house, obviously, so committees can form at any point there. So the hope would be that this doesn't happen in some, you know, sort of untoward way, but rather that we actually end up having a bipartisan consensus that this is worth looking at. But the government's going to want to be careful here because national security, politically speaking, is their strong suit. So they want to maintain that, but they don't want to be seen, I suppose, to be infringing in this space if it develops a bit of public thrust behind it.
There's all sorts of breakouts happening now. We have the Home Affairs Minister, Peter Dutton, weighing in to that spat yesterday between crossbencher Senator Rex Patrick and Departmental Secretary of Home Affairs, Mike Pezzullo. Peter Dutton says he's, quote, disgusted at some of the outrageous lies and slander Mike Pezzullo and I are regularly subject to, and I've always found Senator Patrick to be a person of the sort of character who would seek to misrepresent the Secretary's words. Now, I'm not sure that that's what Scott Morrison meant when he directed Peter Dutton to have a word with the Secretary.
No, look, there's two things at play here. I mean, one, in a pure political sense, yes, it's not a great look to have Peter Dutton doing that to a key crossbencher when they're trying to get other legislation through.
If there's animosity, particularly the tax cuts.
Exactly. Animosity there. You would hope at one professional level that it doesn't flow through, but of course we're all human, so perhaps it does. Having said that, though, the Secretary of Home Affairs, he's got bipartisan respect. I mean, I think he was Kim Beazley's chief of staff way back in the day before.
That's right. I would have thought he's broadly respected on both sides.
Absolutely. So it's one of those things where good on Peter Dutton for standing up for a Home Affairs Secretary who is bipartisan in his respect. He's not some sort of appointment that the other side questions. But having said that, the political way that he did it with a key crossbencher is probably something that some of the strategists, and particularly perhaps those responsible for finance portfolios, are sitting there thinking, geez, can you give us a bit of a better hand when it comes to our relationship with the crossbench?
Okay. Another issue, Anthony Albanese, the opposition leader, has taken a stand against John Setka, who's the one of the leading officials of the CFMEU. He wants him booted out of the ALP for his latest transgression, which are these comments he allegedly directed at family violence campaigner Rosie Batty. Now, he says he's been taken out of context, but does this signify a clear break with past behaviour? I mean, Bill Shorten didn't stand up to John Setka like this.
I think it does. Anthony Albanese does have a long track record of taking on the CFMEU. In fact, they were the barrier going way back when Bill Shorten defeated Anthony Albanese for the leadership after the 2013 election defeat. And you know, their support base, if you like, in the party, which might traditionally be more likely to support somebody on the left than the right, like an Anthony Albanese, has never supported him. And then that has also flowed through, not just from the union writ large vis-a-vis the new Labor leader, but someone like John Setka in particular. So it doesn't surprise me that he is taking as tough a stand as he has. An issue has come up. You know, he might say that he was taken out of context, but it does come from a long line of transgressions, as I think you mentioned. So I certainly think from Anthony Albanese's perspective, this fits with his past behaviour towards the CFMEU, and he wants to make the point that he is strong against that kind of militantism if he wants to pick up mainstream Australia. He has just quickly made the point on the way through that, yes, you know, this is an isolated individual or perhaps some rogue elements within unions. He's not taking on the trade union movement. He doesn't want people to think that.
Yeah, no, he wants to remind people he is now the leader of the Labor Party and the Labor movement. John Setka is the Secretary of the Victorian branch of the CFMEU. Peter, thank you very much.
Good to chat.
Peter Van Onselen, Professor of Politics at Griffith University and the Uni of WA, and our regular political commentator.